Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to our show. My name is Deborah Rose, and I'm your host on Circle Talk. Circle Talk is one of the shows featured on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. CSNP has a lineup of rotating shows throughout each month. Mondays feature Lunatic Mondays with host Laura Gonzalez. She alternates weeks in English and Spanish. It can't be Tuesday without this fun show, and I continue to be the host for this discussion show on the first and third Tuesdays of each month. Wednesdays features Nature Spirituality with none other than Selena Fox. Are you in the mood for some magic? Then you'll want to tune in on Thursday for Moon Magic with Jeanette and David Ewing. We have such a fun and informative lineup of shows, and we hope you try them all. In Samhain 2021, Judith Sizes was ordained as a Circle Sanctuary minister. Judith has been connected with Circle Sanctuary for over 10 years and was very involved with Circle Sanctuary Military Ministry Program. She now leads Circle Sanctuary's virtual full moon circles, which has attendance from all over the world since it's now been virtual. Let's welcome Reverend Judith to Circle Talk and hear more about her journey as she became a Circle Sanctuary minister. Welcome, Reverend Judith.
Well, thank you so much, Reverend Deborah. Thank you for having me on. I'm very honored.
Does it seem weird when I remember when I first became ordained and my family, people would say Reverend and I just didn't even look up. I'm like, what? It's so surreal at first.
Yeah, really, the most important reason for me to get my Reverend certification was I've been doing services at Naval Station Great Lakes for the Naval recruits since 2017. And they always wanted to know what to call me. And I just said, well, Judith, you know, and it just wasn't enough for them. They're so eager. They so want to do things right. You know, they're really starting their military career. So formal names in all of the military branches are really important. So interestingly enough, although there were many other reasons, that was why I started my ordination process in 2019.
Tell us about the military, because you basically worked with pagans on a military base. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's not something we've really talked about on the show before. How did you get started with that?
Well, at Samhain, I think it was 2016, Tiffany, who is our military coordinator, asked me if I would be interested in giving services at Naval Station Great Lakes, because I happen to live in Chicago, and the naval base is an hour away from me, and there are not too many circle ministers who live this close to the naval base.
Right.
So I very reluctantly said yes, and about 6 months later, I didn't know what I was getting into then. So I started services in 2017. And the interesting thing is that since I started on my pagan path, I just really enjoyed the festivals and the community and the people.
Right.
And when I started giving services, it's like, oh, my gosh, I really got to learn this stuff now. So since then, I've conducted, I think, close to 100 or more services, and each and every one of them is slightly different, even though I revisit some of the same themes. You just never quite step in the same river twice. And each time I give a service, I think about what's going on in the world or what's important at that time. So right now I'm working on my service for Friday night. And since today is the Pearl Harbor Day, I am trying to weave in the importance of military service and a little bit of history, because this is the, you know, Pearl Harbor was way before any of us were born. 80 years ago, right? And so as General Milley said, knowing our history and knowing where we've come from is supremely important to understanding how we fit into the fabric of the flow of life, especially military life in our service.
How many people do you average that comes to when you do the service? Is it like a circle? What's the service like?
We set up in a chapel, and as much as I'd like to have it be in a circle, it's just not really feasible.
Right.
And especially after COVID, there are very strict guidelines now in that you don't move around chairs. The platoons sit with the platoons. They don't mix. And I was a little nervous. I had my first service back after close to 2 years of not being able to go onto the base. Had my first service back last Friday. And when I started in 2017, I'd have maybe 30 or 40. And towards right before COVID, I was up to like 125, 150.
Wow.
So I was.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's a big group of people.
It just shows you what a need. I know.
Yeah. And fortunately, the acoustics in the chapel had been really great. So I was just able to project my voice and carry on, and it worked out wonderfully. But last Friday night, I had probably 75 to 100 recruits. I didn't actually count. But I was really thrilled that we had so much interest.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, not very many of them are pagan, because I usually ask if they have any experience with this. So most of them come because they're interested. And
they're
this
seekers,
is kind of new. Yeah, yeah. This is kind of new agey stuff. And they're young, they're inquisitive. And so I'm more than happy to have lots of them there. But since I had to wear a mask throughout the whole service last Friday night, I was yelling at the top of my lungs to try and reach the recruits at the back of the chapel. I was like, oh, this is going to be so hard. I'm either going to really expand my lung capacity, or I'm going to have to get a karaoke set so I can get a microphone in there. We'll see.
Oh, that is so funny. So I take it that the military base, is it very supportive of this? I mean, they give you space in a chapel. They've been supportive?
I am just delighted with how the military really treats their personnel. They very much want to make sure that each and every person serving our country is supported spiritually. And so they have allowed certified churches to give services. And, yes, I go to the recruit chapel. And I have a nice big chapel because they know we get a lot of interest. And it is personnel check, and I have to go up to the base and get my fingerprints and, you know, go through all sorts of rigmarole in order to get a pass and to get onto the base. But yeah, that's good. That's taking care of all the people on the base as well.
So. That is so interesting. I would love to come. I'm up to come. That it would be really, really neat to watch. Did you start out? Did you have pagan parents? Did you grow up? Have you always been this path?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. So let me tell you how I found this path.
I'm excited to hear this then.
Yeah. I was raised Presbyterian, and
I was too.
Oh, funny, yeah. And I studied comparative religions in college, but I'm a graphic designer. I just kind of went off and did art for most of my career. But after a very long marriage ended, I spent a couple of years just really getting back to understanding myself as a solo rather than as a couple, and getting my feet back on the ground and getting centered. And I asked myself, it's about 11 years ago now, I had saved up some money. It's like, where have I always wanted to go in the world? And I have always, as far back as I can remember, I did a shoebox diorama in sixth grade of Machu Picchu. And so I called my astrologer and said I was really interested in going to Machu Picchu. Did he have any advice for me? Would he do a reading for me? So he did an astrocartography reading for me and said that my line between Chicago, which is where I live, and Peru was very strong. I have no idea what that means.
Oh.
But he went on to say that he happened to know a couple of shamans that were doing an exploratory trip, 2-week trip to Peru, and would I be interested in hearing about it? So he gave me the name of one of the shamans, and mm-hmm. I was interviewed on the phone for about 2 or 3 hours by this guy.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, it was pretty intense. And so at the end, he said, we're only taking 10 people plus the 2 shamans, so there'd just be a dozen of us, and I have one place mm-hmm. left, and we're leaving in a month. Would you like to go? So, of course, I said, yes. It's like spirit is just moving me along. And so I ended up flying to Lima, Peru a month later, not knowing anybody or what the heck I was getting into. In fact, I made
that
out my will.
That is so right, Judith.
Isn't that insane? But I made out my will, and I made sure everybody knew where all my documents were, just in case I didn't come back, you know. So we traveled around Peru for 2 weeks, and we met with a number of different shamans, and we did some really interesting earth ceremonies. One of the shamans dug a small hole in the ground. We all gathered around, and he laid out a cloth mm-hmm. and put a husk of corn down for each one of us, and then in each one of the husks, he put like a kernel of corn for food and mm-hmm. a coin for wealth and a couple of other things representing everything that's important in our lives. And then
right.
he tied them up with string and gave each one of us one of those. And he also gave each one of us a small clay flask that we filled with wine. And then we took our clay flask and our corn husk and we placed them into the earth and covered it over with dirt and gave thanks to Pachamama for our life and the blessings of this earth. And as we walked back up our van to take us to our next mm-hmm. destination, a young woman came walking through that same meadow with a herd of sheep, and it was just mm-hmm. magical. It was like the connection mm-hmm. with everything that was fantastic. And another shaman did a sound blessing for us, with eagle feathers and gongs and singing bowls.
Oh, wow.
I had never experienced anything like that. It was just really magical. And, of course, we visited Machu Picchu, and mm-hmm. I just felt such a strong connection there. And when we got up to one of the higher areas of the complex, there was this pretty flat stone. It was like almost at the highest point. And I instinctively knew that I had lived a lifetime there. And that was where my body, after I had died, was laid out in respect in mourning at the end. It's like, oh, man, I just really.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that night after we'd been at Machu Picchu, we had another ceremony with another shaman who took us very deep into trance. And the vision that came to me was that I was back in one of the rooms that we'd been in at Machu Picchu, but that it had a roof on it, it had furnishings all around it, and I was helping one of the high priestesses get dressed to prepare for ritual. And then I remember the door opening and her walking out into the green and all these people waiting for her. It's like mm-hmm. just amazing. So I came back from that trip just high as a kite. I was just so excited by what I had felt and the connection to earth that I just had never, ever felt before. And it was about a week later that my friend Lois invited me to a dream workshop with mm-hmm. Marcia Weider, I think, was the leader of it. And the only other person I knew there was Barb Andrie, who mm-hmm. was a friend of Lois's. And I'd met Barb once or twice at a belly dancing class, so I didn't really know her mm-hmm. all that well. But I was so excited about this trip, and I probably told her everything I've just told to you. And she said, oh, have I got a group for you. So it was that very same year that I ended up my first pagan spirit gathering, and I've never looked back. It's just
oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
So what did you think about your first PSG? I was overwhelmed. There was just, again, I didn't know that many people who shared my faith. So I was just so excited that there was all these people and talking, will come up and start talking to you about all things magical. What did you think about your first PSG?
Well, I knew nothing about paganism. So I went in like a complete novice, and since Barb was a part of the Crone Temple, I went through my croning, and I became part of the gamelan, and I did silk dyeing and dancing with Penny Goody and stayed up all night to the drums and just immersed myself just unbelievably, and especially after my trip to Peru. It was like, I'm going for this. Oh, my gosh, this is so amazing. And I met so many wonderful people that just really resonated with me. I loved the rituals, which I had been seeking in my Muggle life and just had never found. I tried all sorts of different churches and different paths, and I'd read and done this and that. But the pagan spirit gathering just really, really spoke to me. And I've gone every year since that we've been able to go. And so that was in 2011. By 2013, I was on the setup and takedown crew. By 14, I was in helping with the Crone Temple of Wisdom. And now the Crone
Temple
of Wisdom.
So when you do something, you do it all the way.
You know, Deborah, I think I was ready for it. I mean, I came to this path quite late in life. I didn't go to Peru until I was 54. So, like I said, you know, a long-term marriage had ended, and I was so ready for it. It's like, this is my tribe. Yeah. This is my spiritual path. And I'm so grateful to have been led to this. And so I can also say that I just really feel like spirit just keeps moving me along. It's just spirit.
Yeah, I feel that way too.
Yeah, which is how I ended up at Great Lakes, which is how I ended up, you know, following my path to ordination. It's just keeps pushing me along. And now hopefully we'll get back together at the next PSG. I'm really looking forward to that.
I will say, I do miss that. So what did your friends and family say? Are they aware of your spiritual path? Are they open to it?
Well, that's a good question, too. I live 800 miles away from my family. And my sister and I have talked about it a little bit when I've been home, but not real seriously. And I have camped with one of my brothers down at Starved Rock, which is just south of Chicago. A couple of times. And so around the bonfire, I was telling him a little bit more about it. But it wasn't until I was actually going to get ordained that I said, okay, Judith, you got to get brave and come out of the broom closet. So I used that opportunity to invite my close friends, my book group, closest family, my brothers and sisters and my father. My mother is no longer with us. And my father, I was really nervous about. And I spoke at length with he and my stepmother after the ordination ceremony, because they at least got to see that it was a real thing, that other people were involved in.
It's a spiritual ceremony. Right.
Yes. Yeah, so that was actually a really beautiful way for me to introduce some people that I was nervous talking to about it. And it opened up the doors to some really beautiful conversations. And I'm sharing more and more all the time. And my book group has known about my past for a while. As I've been studying with a Lakota shaman out in South Dakota for a number of years. So we've been sharing books about Native American history. And if you haven't read Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Key Kimmerer, that's a beautiful ode to paganism and natural history. She's a biologist by trade and a teacher.
Right.
So I shared that book with my book group maybe 2 years ago. So they've been aware of my path and very, very supportive, as have been all my other closest friends. So that's really nice. And since I joined the Circle community back in 2011, I've become very close to a number of Northern Illinois pagans, as well as a number of people in the Circle Sanctuary community up in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a 3.5-hour drive, I don't get up there as often as I'd like. Mm-hmm. Certainly not for the one-day festivals or even for the full moon circles. So,
right.
Yeah. So it wasn't until the COVID lockdown that I started attending the monthly full moon circles.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really nice, because the only other time I'd been to a full moon circle was when it was in conjunction with a 3-day festival.
Right, and, right, myself included, right.
Yeah, yeah. So I was able to attend those on a regular basis starting in 2020. And then mm-hmm. since my service up at Great Lakes had been shut down since March of 2020, in January of this year, Selena asked me to help her facilitate the full moon circles.
And you do a fabulous job. So.
Oh. Thank you.
So our listeners, so that we can get them encouraged to come on and participate in the full moon circles, talk a little bit about them. They're virtual, so they're through Facebook. Tell people how they could participate and what they're like.
Well, we gather a number of people that are involved in the community and have shown interest in presenting pagan poems or songs or reflections. And we send out an invitation to those people interested in participating in them. And I put together a schedule. And then a couple of days before we're supposed to go live with the full moon circles, I send out the schedule and a Zoom link. So we gather mm-hmm. on Zoom, and they're normally about 12 to 16 of us. 16 is getting to be a mm-hmm. bit much. We're trying to keep it to an hour because people's attention span isn't much more than an hour anymore.
Right.
And then we broadcast it to YouTube.
Right.
So if people are interested,
our listeners are interested, right, they can go to YouTube under Circle Sanctuary and look them up, correct?
Absolutely. And what we really encourage is to have people add their comments to the YouTube, because that's where we can start to interact with the community. And if they are interested further, they can contact the Circle office and we can start to tie them in a little bit more then. But we really only have room for about a dozen people at each gathering. But I'd love to have mm-hmm. everybody join in. They're different every month, as are your talk shows, as all the CSNP shows, in that mm-hmm. we follow the cycle of the seasons, we see mm-hmm. what's going on in the world, and try and make them appropriate to that particular month.
Right, and what a wonderful result of everyone going on Zoom is that I know myself that, like you said, I wasn't able to go to Circle Sanctuary for full moon circles, but I can go online. So you've probably had people from around the country that normally couldn't attend in person but can now.
Actually, around the world. We have people from California to the UK to South America. Yeah. So
that is really fun.
Yeah, and we have close to 100 people tuning in live, and then many more come and watch later, because it is up on the Circle YouTube page where we have reruns.
And I have done that. And it's really, really nicely done. So
Thank you.
So that's nice. You usually have music, and it's just really nice.
Well, and we have found that since we have such a great outreach virtually, that even if they do, mm-hmm. if we do go back to doing the circles on the land, we're going to have to figure out some way to keep it virtual as well. So it might be that we do them on different days. It might be mm-hmm. that we do the broadcasts on one day and do the gatherings on the land another day. Because typically the gatherings on the land were only about 20, 25 people. So we're actually reaching mm-hmm. so many more people this way. And we don't want to let those listeners down. So we're going to continue to do that as well. And I might just mention here as well that the full moon circles are not always on the full moon, because mm-hmm. sometimes the full moon lands on a Wednesday, and that's when Selena has her nature spirituality
right.
service, broadcast, so we can't do it then. And sometimes we've set up the schedule for next year, and a couple of them fell on a Friday night, and that's when I give my services at Great Lakes. So we had to switch those two.
Yeah,
we had to switch those either Thursday or Sunday, and we never have them on a Saturday because often there are festivals at Circle, and if there mm-hmm. aren't, we often have community work days on the land. Since we have 200
right.
acres of nature preserve, as well as 20 of those acres are a green burial ground, it requires a lot of work, and all of it is volunteer. Our membership and our community are incredibly vital to keeping the, mm-hmm. the land in good shape and the paths cleared so that you can walk up to Spirit Rock and up to Stone Circle and up to the cemetery. So our volunteers who get onto the land, obviously these people that are volunteering live much closer to Circle than you and I do. And I'm so
right.
appreciative of the amazing amount of work that they do there. Besides mowing all the lawns and keeping all the trails clear, they also maintain the labyrinth, which
mm-hmm.
is a huge grass labyrinth that takes quite a while to walk into and to walk out of. And it's actually one of my favorite things to do at on land festivals.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah, and something else I would say is that you do not have to be any certain pagan tradition. You know, you don't have to be Kalkeek. You don't have to be North. The moon rituals are very open to anyone who follows any earth-centered path, I think would enjoy it. Wouldn't you agree that there's a lot of diversity within Circle?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, that's another thing I love about this community is that there are many different pagan paths. We've
right.
got Druids, and we've got the Celtic path. We've got the Asatru, mm-hmm. And Nordic traditions, family traditions. We also have Christo-pagans, Judeo-pagans.
Right.
Buddhist pagans,
right.
but we also have people that have no particular faith, don't believe in gods or
right.
goddesses. Some people believe in fairies and elves, and others
right.
just really appreciate being alive on this earth here and now.
Mm-hmm.
They might be agnostic, they might not believe in anything at all,
right.
but they enjoy the spirit of this community. They enjoy being together with these people who are definitely open and respectful of the path that everybody is taking in this life. Because we're all here having we're all here as spiritual beings having an earthly experience. And we honor that.
Absolutely.
And everyone.
Whether
absolutely. They
believe
that or not,
I
that's
agree.
Okay. You're welcome. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Circle is, which is one of the things and it just could be where I live, but I tend to think that sometimes flavors of pagan spirituality are very regional. Like in my area, you know, there's certain, you know, whether it be Wicca or Gardnerian or Alexandrian or Druid, there seems like different areas are really strong in some traditions and don't
uh-huh.
have a lot of the others. And so that was the real exciting thing for me when I first went to Pagan Spirit Gathering, which happens midsummer in June. So everybody start saving your pennies now because you're going to want to go if they have it in person this year. was to see and meet so many different people in diverse and so many different faiths of paganism. The workshops are very rich, and I learned so much. So, yeah, it was really, like I said, in my little area, you know, we kind of bump into the same kind of people, and Circle is so rich in their diversity that it's just, I've just learned so much, and everybody is so welcoming and eager to teach and learn. So it's just really fun.
It's wonderful. We also have a lot of different authors that come that mm-hmm. write from many different perspectives. And we also have people that practice healing modalities, such mm-hmm. as Reiki and singing and drumming as a way of healing the body, and tarot reading. And I love all the different rituals, because they're put on by different people of different faiths.
Right.
And so they present things in such different ways. I always learn something new.
I do too. And I take it home with me, because I lead a public circle. And so, yeah, I will say hello. I know I'm very good friends, as you are, with River Higginbotham, who is a circle mm-hmm. minister, and he's also an author, and he's a very experienced ritualist. And I know that he will do something, and I'm like, River, I'm stealing that. I'm going to do a version of that at my circle. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's just really fun, and it's exciting. So I'm with you, Judith. Everybody needs to save their pennies and plan on going to Circle Sanctuary. Pagan Spirit Gathering, which you'll hear more about on Circle Talk this year. So it's definitely, definitely fun.
It's actually not held at Circle Sanctuary, because we don't have that the capacity to have that many people at that land. And I believe, well, I'm not quite sure where it's going
to be held. Do you know where it's going to be held? I don't know where it's going to be held this year. It's usually various locations in the Midwest. It usually changes about every 5 or so years. It's been in Illinois. Right. It's been in Missouri. Yeah. It's been in Ohio. It's Indiana. So it's around that area in the Midwest. So it's, you know, but people from all across the country come, people across the world. I mean, we always have, you know, attendees from, you know, the UK. And so it's just, we had somebody from Australia last time. So it was just fun. I mean, it's just fun.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm really looking.
Changed my life. Yeah, yeah.
Me too. It's funny, when you first go there, they say welcome home, and that's really what it feels like. It really feels like you're coming home, and you live in an intentional magical village for a week. So it's just really fun.
Yeah, and speaking of River and his rituals, he and Jasmine also run singing workshops as well. As well as an enchantment camp where people can get together mm-hmm. and chant and sing in the evenings. And that has really helped me to use my voice and to mm-hmm. gain confidence in my singing. And it's interesting that for the full moon circles that went virtual, all of a sudden I opened up my songbook. I was like, oh, my gosh. I can sing, and I love to sing, and I haven't, you know, been to a church service to be able to sing out of a hymnal mm-hmm. in years. So to be able to sing in praise of the gods or the goddesses or the seasons or the quarters or the solstices has been such a wonderful thing for me. So I'm now putting together my own little songbook so that throughout the year I can share some of these songs with the recruits and continue to share them on the Full Moon Circles too.
That surprises me. I would have thought you were an experienced ritualistic singer, because you are very good at your Full Moon Circles. That is so interesting. You're just coming all out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. Well, the experiences I've run across have given me the opportunity to do that. And so I've always loved to sing, but always been really nervous about it. It's like, oh, what do I have to lose mm-hmm. on a Zoom call? You know? So
exactly.
Now I'm pretty much singing. I sang at the Circle for Planet Earth on
the
Parliament of World Religions this year, and I'll be singing again at the Circle Sanctuary's Longest Night virtual gathering on December 20th. I'm not singing so much as I used to. We've gotten so much interest in so many other musicians that since I'm facilitating it, I need to kind of step aside and let other people step up to the bat.
You been to Parliament before? You mentioned the Parliament of Religion. Had you been before? Have you been to the Parliament before?
Yes. Yes. I believe we were there together in 2015 in Salt Lake City.
That's right. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes, that was fun. Utah was my first one. This was my second one. I was very pleased and thought it was very well done, considering it was entirely virtual. And again, that was something that was really, really exciting to go to.
So you and I missed the one in between in Toronto. I did not go to that one either.
Yes,
and
I didn't either.
The virtual one this year was good, but it did not have the impact on me that actually going to a gathering the Parliament of World Religions had in person. I remember being so overwhelmed at the 2015 Parliament that I had to just go sit in this little temple that they had in the middle of this huge area, and they had water flowing and plants, and so I was able to sit inside this little temple and meditate and hear the vibration of this entire convention going on around me, and it was amazing, the amount of energy and spirit and all these people from all sorts of walks of life and all around the world coming together and sharing in panels and sharing in meals. And it's like a pagan spirit gathering, but on steroids, you know? And
yes, it is interesting. And I agree. I miss, as I had told you before, for my research project for my minister training program, we had to pick a faith that we knew nothing about, and I picked Shinto. And so and they had a Shinto temple there. So I agree. I enjoyed interacting with people of different faiths and seeing their artifacts and temples, and they were creating mandalas there. And I like that.
Hey.
But I have to say a good thing, but I get, there were so many things at the 2015 that I had to choose. The real big benefit for the virtual was that after the was over, you could revisit all of the things. And so I went back and revisited workshops that I didn't get to attend and got to attend a lot of things. So I really did actually enjoy that.
Well, I wonder if because of this COVID experience that we've had, much like our full moon circles are going to continue to be virtual. And I know that a lot of congregations are now starting to do in-person services again, but they're also now taping them so that people can still watch them on Zoom or watch them recorded later. So I am hoping that that's going to be something that's going to carry on even with the Parliament, because it is so vital. It is so important. And one of the groups I'm helping in the minister training program right now, curating the history of Circle Sanctuary, which is so huge. I don't know how we're ever going to get on top of that. Plus, it's always happening. History is always happening. And so the recordings that Selena has done, the recordings that CSNP has done, that you've done, are so important to our history and such valuable resources for those coming along after us, not only in the Circle Sanctuary community, but other people who are interested in the pagan history and interested in learning more. So I think that these recordings and continued interaction on different levels rather than just gathering in person or rather than just books are going to continue to increase in importance. But there's still never going to be anything quite like being at a pagan spirit gathering in person because it's a much smaller
and it's a community.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So
That's still very core.
I do think, I agree with you. I think most festivals will have some type of combination because it just opens the door for people who, again, who don't like to camp or maybe don't have the, like I don't have the financial resources to go to a conference across, you know, in California, but I could afford a Zoom one. So, yeah, I think the pandemic has changed a lot of ways that we communicate and has changed, and people have gotten so much better. I just remember when the first Zoom, like the first ritual at a festival that I went to on Zoom, and we laugh, and Selena really helped me when I've done Zoom things as far as making it more personal. So I think over the year, we've gotten much more sophisticated and much better at it. So I think it's in your full moon circle is a big example of that. So I think you'll continue. Like I said, I think that there'll be room for both in the future. Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think that the hybrid way of going about things is definitely the wave of the future. And it's so interesting to think about how COVID has changed the world in so many ways. I think a lot of, I know personally, I took a lot of time to really step back and reflect and think about my life during the last 2 years of lockdown. And so how we communicate has changed a little bit. I think my appreciation is actually starting to get back together with people in person again is much sharper, and I'm much more grateful for it. I think I used to take some of that for granted because that's the way it always had been. So,
right. Yeah, I do think it's. Well, let me ask you, I'm so interested. So I know you were very involved in Circle, but usually there's a call. I mean, for people to enter the minister training program, it's a big step. Tell me about what inspired you to do that.
Well, as I mentioned when I was so excited at the beginning of this program and probably talking way too fast, that it was important to the recruits up at Naval Station Great Lakes that I have an honorific
accreditation. Right.
Yes. And so now that I am also the designated religious group leader there, because Chiron retired, he's now back to doing services with us, which I'm so grateful for. But I'm now the lead coordinator between Circle Sanctuary and the chaplains at the chapel. So for me to really understand what it means to be a minister, especially for Circle Sanctuary, and to have had the training and the thoughtfulness of really putting myself through the paces of asking myself exactly that question. Why am I doing this? What is it that I want to achieve in the world? How can I best serve? And that kind of really gets to the core of my ministry, is that I want to be of service. I want to continue to teach. And I, even though I give services and there's a ritual quality to them, really the main part of my services is the liturgy, where I get to talk about different aspects of paganism and what we believe in and what we think is important and how we wish to live our lives and how we wish to treat other people. And and then, of course, you know, the basics of what the Sabbats are and how we celebrate each one of those, and the different cycles of the moon and how that can affect how you approach your life. You know, with the new moon, it's like you're starting the cycle and you can set intentions. Mm-hmm. And then at the full moon, it's like you can realize maybe what you have accomplished or not accomplished. And then in the waning moon phase, you can let it go and let yourself drain out and refresh so that you're ready to start again. So, yeah, just teaching basic concepts. And so for my services, I do, you know, the opening, we open the circle and I try and get recruits involved, and then I do my liturgy, but then I open up the service for about 20 minutes to questions, And that mm-hmm. is the part of the service that I absolutely love the most, because I get the most interesting questions and I can just answer them off the cuff. And if I don't know, I say, I don't know. Do any of you know? And sometimes I'll have recruits stand up and speak to something that I can't quite speak to. Like I had one recruit speak to crystals that I don't know so much about. And I had mm-hmm. another one speak to Reiki. So it's just a really wonderful interaction with these recruits who are really excited about this new phase of their life, and being able to share it and talk about it is really, really rewarding.
That is. I've never thought about doing that, open it up to general questions. I may do that in our circles. I had never even thought about doing that. That's really, really really interesting. And don't you feel like people are just hungry for information? And they want to know what's real. Because there's so much on the internet, and then they don't kind of want to know what's real.
Yeah, and they want to hear it from somebody in person, not just the internet. And most of the recruits at my services have not been exposed to paganism at all. So this gives them an opportunity to ask questions. And not only that, honestly, I don't really want to talk at them for an hour. It's much nicer for me to get that interaction and that flow going between myself and the recruits.
Yeah, and that's real. And listen, for me, it's so exciting to hear, you know, how open and how, you know, the base is so encouraging and they're really open to working with you, because it probably was not always that way. And so kudos to Circle Sanctuary. Selena has really, you know, been one of the people that trailed pagan rites and has worked with different government entities and has kind of gotten us where we are today with many other people. So, yeah, it always
There's absolutely
like,
no doubt about that. Yeah, she definitely
absolutely.
Got us onto the base. She was completely responsible for contacting them, and there had been a group there before doing earth-centered spirituality, but I don't know if something happened with them. So she stepped in and filled the void and opened the door for me and Chiron and others that have been doing service there over the years, and I'm very, very grateful to her for that.
I am too. I mean, I laugh because so many wonderful things. Sometimes I have to remember that it wasn't always like this, and it was for trailblazers that came before me that I get to enjoy all these freedoms and all of these things that I probably take for granted these days.
Yeah, yeah. And when our rights are being questioned, we do have some history behind us to stand up to that. And when there is some religious pushback, which does happen, is still happening, very great community around us that we are hopefully not going to let these rights and the ability to practice religion as we see fit be trampled on, although we see some rights being questioned broadly right now, which is very distressing. But life has always been that way. You know, two steps forward, one step back. That's just
right.
The way the pendulum swings, and we need to...
the wheel turns, and it will eventually turn back. Absolutely. So tell me... I know your family was there, but tell me about when they said a Zoom ordination, and I unfortunately was not able to attend, but I'm one of those people that went back on YouTube and watched how wonderful it was. What were your thoughts? What did it feel like to go through that process?
Well, I was a little nervous about coming out, but it's like, oh, Judith, you've already gotten this far. Keep going. And so I was absolutely... Pardon?
Oh, I didn't say anything. Go ahead.
So I was absolutely delighted to congratulations of my family and my friends. And a couple of my pagan friends teased me. They're like, do we have to call you Reverend Judith now? And it's like, no. That's mostly for my ceremonial things.
But I have had friends who really didn't know that I had gone this far with this training that are like, well, can you do weddings and funerals and all that kind of baby blessings and all that kind of stuff? And it's like, yep, I am fully ordained and I can be an official in those particular circumstances. And I now have my official vestments, which makes me feel very proud. It really makes me feel proud to represent this community and to serve in this way.
Yeah, I'm grateful. And I loved your headdress that you wore during your ordination.
Oh, thank you. That was actually given to me by my very
first
pagan.
You were beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that was given to me by my very first pagan teacher, Anna Blackschmidt. And I'm very grateful to have her as a good friend to this day. So it was an honor to wear something that had been hers. And I've gotten compliments on that. I'm going to have to pull it out every now and then, especially at the Pagan Spirit Gathering. I'll make sure to bring it for that.
Absolutely. People dress up, and it's funny because a lot of us will collect witch hats. And, you know, there's just not a lot of places to wear that in the mundane world. But everybody can deck out at the morning meeting. Absolutely. I try to wear something different every day. So for ritual, that would look great.
And we haven't mentioned that we have a lot of vendors at Pagan Spirit Gathering, too, and that's where I actually got my very first witch hat. So, yeah,
oh,
so my collection has grown since then, too. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, the Pagan Mall. Yeah, it is. It is really, really, really fun. I have to say, our first PSG was 2004. And we've been every year. One year I had to come in late. I didn't come into Tuesday because we had a death in the family. But yeah, it's just really been yes. And like I said, sites change about every 5 or so years. There's some sites I've liked better than others. I did not like Camp Zoe's Hill, but those are all secondary facts. But once you go there in the community, it's just fun. So
And when they say when we leave the Pagan Spirit Gathering, we say, and now we're leaving for a year's supply run to come back
right,
again
a
52 next year.
Right, a 52-week supply run, and we'll be back. Absolutely. So,
I'm
lucky in the fact that typically we go to Samhain on Circle Land. So I get to see a lot of the same people. So I only have to go about 6 months before I see other people. So, yeah, so it's really, really fun. And as you say, I think Circle will start once the pandemic gets under control, start having festivals. And so they celebrate, you know, all the sabbats on the wheel of the year. And so, you know, if you cannot go for a week-long PSG, there's always three-day festivals that are absolutely wonderful.
They are. There's actually going to be an in-person Yule gathering on December 18th, but that is just a day. And so the next three-day festival that we'll be looking at will be Beltane, which is, I believe, it's right around the beginning of May. So I would love to get back onto the land. It really does my heart so much good to go meditate at Spirit Rock or, as I mentioned before, walk the labyrinth. So we light the labyrinth at night, and it's a really magical experience to walk it at night.
It really is. So, and I also want to say a big thank you because I know that you do graphic design in your mundane life, and that is a skill set that has helped me out with Circle Talk, and that's something that you've also volunteered and brought to Circle Sanctuary and CSNP especially. So I want to thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you. And yes, that is my profession. That is what I absolutely love to do. And I've been doing graphics for Circle Sanctuary since 2016. And once Florence had Genevieve and left her post there, I took over all of the publications. And I've been doing them for a number of years now. And it gives me great joy to be able to be of service in that way as well.
Oh, well, you're very talented, so it's very nice. So
And actually today I did two uh-huh. graphics for Selena to promote her her Zoom workshops. There's going to be one this coming Saturday, the 11th, on Yuletide or Herb Magic. And then she's going to do another one on the Yule from the Yule Festival on the 18th. And you can register for both of those to capture them, to see them on the Zoom at the Circle Sanctuary website page.
All right. And that's www.circlesanctuary.org. And when you go to our page, there's usually listings on the front page. And at the top of it, you'll see different headers that you can click and you can get all kinds of information. So, well, Judith, I cannot believe it's been almost an hour. Our time's almost at an end. I knew you would be a fabulous guest. I could just chat with you all night long. So
let's do it again sometime.
to thank you. And I'm so excited. And congratulations again about your ordination. I'm so proud of you. And so for me and all the Circle Talk community, we want to say congratulations to you. And we're excited.
Thank you so much.
To see what's yet to come with you.
Oh, goodness. Well, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure talking with you this evening, Deborah.
Thank you so much. And besides Reverend Judith, I'd like to thank Dave and Jeanette, our sound engineers, for their technical expertise. And finally, I'd like to thank all of you out there, our listeners, for your continued support of all of our shows here on Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, or CSNP. Are you looking for a podcast and not sure which one to go? If you go to Circle Sanctuary, again, you can click a page that will say podcast, and there will be a listing of all of our shows and our upcoming topics for you to look for. So you can go by and listen to all of them. Our next Circle Talk will be Tuesday, December 21st, and it'll be a seasonal encore presentation of Celebrating Yule in a Christmas World. I look forward to being with you all again, so please come back. We're now going to transition our show with a musical selection. Good night, everybody, and blessed be.
The sheep have returned to their home, and the dead have followed the raven's song. No longer among us they roam. The wisdom of our ancient past shows us how to ride the storm. For their tombs they swallowed the rising sun, and the Mavern is always reborn. Reborn, oh. Away. All over the land a chorus of voices will sing for the rising sun on midwinter's day. On midwinter's day. His eyes have returned to the earth. For 3 days the sun has been still in the sky, but the time has now come for his birth. His birth, oh.
So come all you people, come and sing with me. Join our voices and sing the long night away. All over the land a chorus of voices will sing for the rising sun on midwinter's day.
Midwinter's Day.
born. Some say he's the Son of God, while others the Son of the Son. Some may listen in woodland for the call of her, while others they hear the clash of sword, for the old king will return. Return home.
So come all you people, come and sing with me. Join our voices and sing the long nights away. All over the land a chorus of voices will sing for the rising sun on midwinter's day.
On midwinter's day.
Sanctuary Network Podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.